Welcome to the Key Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things Key Beauty, hosted by me, Sugar Peaches, from Sugar Peaches Loves, a German and English beauty blog dedicated to beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. It's May, the lusty month of May. And with it comes a whole host of potentially skin-aggravating problems. Hay fever, too much sunlight, too much partying. Add to that the usual risk clusters, such as that time of the month, or some of us getting a bit too overexcited with our exfoliation routine, and you already have discovered my motivation for today's episode. So, get your sheet masks ready, and your nasal sprays out, and let's discuss how Key Beauty products can help us deal with skincare emergencies. Hi guys, I'm back. I needed a bit of time to prepare a new episode because I was blanking out on what to talk about, to be absolutely honest. I think I need to let go of this idea that every episode needs to be this super tightly structured, super on-topic affair, but as an academic and someone who taught writing at university, it's kind of in my nature to approach a project and try to bring a narrative structure into it. I really admire the amazing girls from the Snare cast for their ability to just chat away and still be super informative and engaging. However, a few days ago, when my nose was a hot red mess and my eyes looked like I hadn't slept in weeks thanks to pollen destruction, destroying my life, I suddenly had an epiphany. Why not talk about SOS skincare? You know, not just what to do for your overstressed skin during hay fever season, but a full episode on skincare emergencies and how to solve them. During my brainstorming session for this topic, I came up with a surprisingly high number of these types of "my skin is out of whack for some exhausting reason, oh, what should I do?" scenarios. And it was equally surprising to see how I had, almost subconsciously, already developed quite a number of, shall we say, toolkits for each of these skin emergencies over the years. So I thought, why not share my SOS skincare experiences with you guys? I've chosen 5 emergency scenarios when our skin needs some extra special care and attention. Let's go. So, SOS skincare scenario number 1, hay fever and seasonal allergies. Obviously, this was the first scenario I came up with because I'm basically right in the middle of it at this very moment while trying to record this podcast. So, as those of you listening who also suffer from seasonal allergies know, it's not just the annoying fatigue, the red swollen nose, the stuffed sinuses, the teary eyes. Pollen doesn't just enter through the nose, eyes, and mouth. It can also affect your skin. Now, this will look different for each person with hay fever. For me, I get extremely itchy skin, especially overnight. Histamine levels can increase overnight, which means you can also wake up with skin that feels and looks inflamed and sore. My skin is also far more sensitive during hay fever season than usual, complicated by the fact that I also suffer from dust mite allergy. So basically, if I'm indoors, I get allergy attacks from the dust, and if I'm outdoors, I get attacked by evil pollen. So my skin tends to be more inflamed and looks redder than usual, and frankly, it tends to look red anyway. Polite people call it rosy or pink, but really it's red. So red and inflamed skin, it's a very attractive mixture, as you can imagine. I think I mentioned this in an earlier episode of the podcast. Maybe it was the spring cleaning episode. I'm not sure. But what also tends to happen is that other, usually milder sensitivities I have now flare up. Certain fragrance components, for instance, are usually fine, but during spring and summer, I react more sensitive towards them and need to be super careful. And, well, then there are all the other usual symptoms, of course, on top of everything I've already mentioned. So the skin around the nose is dry from blowing it too often, the eyes are puffy and look tired, and there is a tendency to get eczema and other rashes because, as I said, pollen can enter through the skin and thus trigger all these skin reactions. So what sort of emergency skincare tools have I developed over the years to survive the hay fever season? Let's start with eye care. My eyes are probably the most affected during hay fever season. Or maybe it's what annoys me the most. I don't know for sure, to be honest. So the first thing I do pretty much every morning in order to help bring down the extreme puffiness from the allergens is to massage the eye area with a green tea ice cube, which I wrap in a piece of gauze. I got this trick from makeup queen Lisa Eldridge. Well, not directly from her, of course, although I wish. In my mind, we are best friends and we share skincare tips every day, but of course, only in my mind. Anyway, she mentioned in a video once that this is what she does in order to bring down puffiness around the eyes. So what you do is you basically make ice cubes out of very strong green tea. And because placing the ice directly on your skin is far too harsh, you should wrap it in a bit of cloth. As I said, I use a small piece of disposable gauze bandage, which you can buy super cheap here in Germany. I'm sure it's the same in the US. So I wrap my green tea ice cube in the gauze and then slowly and carefully massage around both eyes in a circular motion. This is so soothing and pleasant, and it also helps wake me right up. It's great. The massage and the cold combined help stimulate your blood circulation and bring down the swelling around the eyes. And the green tea is very soothing, as well as anti-inflammatory. If the whole ice cube melting sounds too messy for you, you can also get yourself a super fancy, super pretty looking jade roller. You've maybe seen those on Instagram. And you can just keep that in the fridge overnight. That way the stone feels very cold and it can release that cold sensation to your skin. Massaging your face with one of those rollers can really help calm down inflammation and reduce puffiness. It's a great tool. It's just a little bit pricier than just making ice cubes. I noticed on Instagram that there are also rose quartz rollers now, which also look very pretty. To be honest, I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter what type of stone it is. I think it's more about the cooling sensation and the rolling action when you use them to massage your face. I might be wrong, but I'm never sure if I believe in some sort of spiritual special property when it comes to gemstones. No offense to anyone who does believe in that, but I would say just go for whatever is prettiest and within your price range. What usually also happens during hay fever season is that I go through what feels like, I don't know, 5,000 eye patches from various K-beauty brands. They just feel so calming and soothing and super hydrating. I feel they can do wonders when your under eye area looks dry and dehydrated, thanks to, of course, the itchiness and the tearing throughout the day. Korean eye patches really are amazing. Many different brands offer them, and as of now, I haven't had a disappointing experience yet. Truthfully, they all kinda sorta do the same job of deeply hydrating the area and calming down any redness or inflammation. Thus, I don't think it is necessary to invest in a luxury eye patch, especially during hay fever season where you will need plenty of them. Just go for a budget one. Doesn't have to be the fancy gold Chongpri ones. I mean, if you like them, buy them, but I don't really think it makes a difference. You might recall that I spoke of the Hamish Bulgarian Rose eye patches in the last podcast episode, and even though I still haven't had the chance to try them out myself, I'm pretty certain that they will do a fine job, and with over 70 patches in one package, they're quite affordable, and they will probably last for a while even if you use them daily. I also really like the Secret Key Raccoonie eye patches. They have a pink version with, I think, rose extract. And then there is a green one that is almost better, I would say. Just doesn't look as cute. That one has algae in it, algae extract. And of course, eye drops are a number one essential item in spring. I always have some with me whenever I leave the house. It's also the number one thing I grab for in the morning. I can't really even get up without first dousing my eyes with eye drops. I usually just have preservative-free, simple drugstore eye drops with me, which contain hyaluronic acid, which is great for keeping the eyes moist. But on special occasions where I want my eyes to look extra bright and less red, I actually grab my Japanese Roto Lisi, or is it Lisi? I'm not sure. I think it's Lisi eye drops. They are the ones in the pink, bottle. You can use them even while wearing contact lenses, so that's why they are so convenient for me. Okay, now a word of warning. If you've never used any of the Verroto eye drops, just be careful. They are, it's very hard to describe the sensation of these eye drops. They are kind of, okay, I have to be honest with you, they're kind of painful. Especially when you use them first. And also, to be honest, the more red your eyes are, the weirder the sensation is. They sting in the eyes. I do feel, however, that those pink ones, the Lycy ones, are a little bit more gentle than the regular version. The thing is that they contain menthol, and I don't know what else, to be honest. I don't even dare to look because I don't want to know. Because they work so well. I don't want to know if there's anything in there that might not be that healthy. But they are really great once you get used to them. I'm not really selling them very well right now, I think. But they are just the best when you need an instant pick-me-up for the eyes. Because they really get rid of all that redness. Your eye will just look as if you've slept 10 hours. You will look so much brighter and more awake. They are actually great. You just have to get used to the sensation. Just Google them. I'll make sure to link maybe a review where it's the sensation is described. I would say it stings. I would say it's a stinging sensation. It goes away. It doesn't stay, but it's always that first moment when you put in the eye drops. For the hay fever plagued noses, I suggest a calming balm or ointment. My favorite is actually not Korean. It's a French one. I don't know if you've ever heard of Omeoplasmine. It's this amazing thick white, I think it's a healing balm or ointment that you get in the pharmacy in France. And it's so good if you have any sort of rashes or dry patches. It's also great as a lip balm. If you can get your hands on this ointment, definitely grab a tub. As I said, I usually get it in France because I live quite close to the French border, so that's quite handy. I just buy it at the pharmacy there, but I think definitely in Canada you can get it. I know that. I'll see if I can find maybe an Amazon link or something like that. And speaking of lip balms, lip sleeping masks are fantastic for a sore, red, and flaky nose. Try the Laneige lip masks, or maybe their cheaper dupe. I talked about those ones before, the Petite Fée lip masks. I would also suggest switching to extra mild skincare products if you suffer from skin-related problems during hay fever season. I'm currently in love with my Claire's Supple Preparation Unscented Toner. It's perfect for allergy season because it's so mild and it hydrates so deeply. I'm also extra dependent on misting my face throughout the day. It helps keep pollen from my skin and soothes my stressed face. Listen to my episode on how to build your key beauty skincare routine and also the one on how to spring clean your skin. I do mention my favorite key beauty mists quite a lot in those. It's still kind of the same bunch of mists. But you know what? Just thermal water, a spring water spray, also does wonders for the skin. It's all about just making sure the pollen can't really enter through your skin or stay on your skin. The new Etude House Sun Jung skincare line has been formulated for extremely sensitive skin, and I've heard good things about the products from people on Instagram. The Sun Jung 10-Free Moist Emulsion contains soothing ingredients such as green tea extract and, I'm probably going to mispronounce that, metacassocyte. It's an ingredient won from Centella Asiatica, and of course, I've mentioned Centella Asiatica and all those products a number of times on this podcast already. There's also a heavier, richer Sika balm in the Sun Yang skincare series, which should be great if you suffer from flaky or dry skin thanks to the evil pollen. A great non-Korean skincare line that is excellent for highly sensitized skin during hay fever season is the La Roche-Posay Tolerion Ultra line, which is fragrance and alcohol free. It's formulated with a very minimalistic approach, specifically with allergy prone, highly sensitive skin in mind. I really love their ultra fluid and the ultra overnight cream. I noticed that they also now have a special eye cream, which I'm guessing would be pretty great for hay fever plagued eyes. I've been eyeing that up for a while now. No Bad pun intended, sorry. Okay, let's move on to SOS skincare scenario number 2, which is PMS and other hormonal emergencies. So ladies, oh, and possibly some men as well, if there are any trans men listening, of course. So hi guys, this one is for us. Now, how utterly mean is it that our hormones can wreak havoc to our skin within mere days? No matter how meticulously we take care of it for the rest of the month, I always clean my skin every morning and every night, and I take care of it as well as I possibly can, but well, come that time of the month and it all suddenly seems to have been for nothing. I get these mean little pimples on my chin and an overall increase in sebum, so that I look super oily again no matter what I do pretty much. Now, some of you might also have problems with breakouts, especially if you are younger. I used to get massive pimples on my forehead during that time of the month in my 20s. Or you might even have recurring acne, really inflamed red cystic acne during that time of the month. But even that is not all we have to deal with right before a period starts. Water retention also means we have a puffier face and especially puffy eyes. Our overall skin tone is also usually more sallow, and dark circles can look more prominent, so that the face generally looks more fatigued, no matter how well we slept. And of course, we often are more fatigued and more stressed before our periods, thanks to low levels of progesterone. So puffiness, tired and dull skin, excess sebum, and a tendency to experience more breakouts are the main problems we face before our periods set in. Well, if there is any country's skincare industry that is basically perfect for PMS skincare, then it's the Korean beauty industry. Trust me. Puffiness, for instance, is one of the main concerns for many Korean women. You often hear Korean influencers apologize for having what they consider a puffy face in their videos. And I don't know how many anti-puffiness tips and tricks I've seen being shown on the Korean beauty show Get It Beauty. Now, if you're low on funds, then I would say just use my green tea ice cube routine that I introduced for puffy eyes. You can just use the ice cube and gently massage around your jawline and your face contour to help depuff your face. It's just a little messy, that's all. Some people also do a full facial massage with oils and they swear by it. I must admit that I don't really have the patience for that, but I'll make sure to link Lisa Eldridge's video of her elaborate facial massage in the podcast episode notes for you. Reducing salt intake and drinking plenty of water can also help reduce swelling during that time of the month. By the way, though I know it's sometimes hard to not use a lot of salt. Salt is, it just does give a nice taste. Another trick is to sleep with your face slightly elevated to prevent fluid retention in your facial skin and around your eyes. So if this isn't uncomfortable for you, use an extra pillow during the week before your period. The Korean beauty industry has also developed a number of fancy massage tools to help depuff your face. Especially around the jawline, it's very important for them to get rid of any extra fluid. Because the ideal Korean face shape is a heart shape, meaning Koreans try to go for that so-called V-line, a V-shaped jawline and a pointy chin. Think Reese Witherspoon's face. That's basically the ideal face shape that all Korean women, or I shouldn't say all, but the majority is going for. A small face is also what most Korean women covet as ideal. So again, puffiness is the number one enemy because it makes the skin and the face appear larger. I myself haven't tried any of those fancy facial rollers, but I've heard pretty good things about the Swanee Coco Germanium Beauty Roller. But pretty much all beauty brands offer so-called V-shape rollers. There's one from Secret Key, and Makeon also makes one. I'll see if I can find some links online. If you keep those rollers in your fridge, they're usually made out of metal, the cold will further help depuff your face while you massage it in the morning. Now, when it comes to making your skin look less fatigued, the main thing that can help, to be absolutely frank, is to use makeup. Concealer is your friend during that time, that's for sure. Personally, I'm not fond of salmon colored under eye concealer, maybe because my skin tone just doesn't agree with it. I'm not sure what it is, but I do know that many makeup artists are huge fans of the Skin Food Salmon Dark Circle Concealer Cream. It's very affordable, so it might be worth trying out if you have strong dark circles. Just because it didn't work for me doesn't mean it doesn't have to work for you. For me, it just didn't really seem to help brighten up the area. It did cover it up, but it just looked very orange on me, to be honest. To be completely frank, in general, I've not had that much luck with Korean concealers. I do prefer Western brands. My all-time favorite concealer will forever be the YSL Touche Eclat, which also has the added benefit of being very brightening thanks to light reflecting particles, so it makes your eye area look far less tired. It doesn't cover as well, but it does make everything look brighter and fresher around the eye area, I find. The only eye cream I've ever found to have a de-puffing effect is the Clinique All About Eyes cream. For some people, eye products with caffeine also help de-puff and brighten. This did not work for me, but again, it might work for you. But I can really recommend the Clinique eye cream. It's, I think, one of the best ones I've ever tried. Keeping your skincare products in the fridge also gives you a nice cooling boost. I always do this in the summer months. It's awesome. When it comes to breakouts, K-Beauty has you covered, that's for sure. My all-time favorite foaming cleanser for acne-prone skin is the Ärztin Klaren Foam, which is super gentle but also really effective in clearing your skin. I can highly recommend it. It's low pH as well. It's great. It's a little bit pricier, but it does last for quite a while. The whole Klaren line from Ärztin is really awesome if you suffer from excess sebum. Their Klaren lotion really does have a noticeable mattifying effect, and it's very moisturizing without feeling heavy. It's really a very lightweight lotion gel type. The Ligi Harm Grow 5 Alpha Cream is the perfect moisturizer during times of hormonal breakouts. It is this very lightweight, intensely hydrating gel cream, which has been formulated specifically for oily, dehydrated skin. I just finished my jar a few weeks ago, and I already miss it in my routine. It's so great. And it also smells really nice, although that of course shouldn't matter, but it does matter. It's just lovely. K-Beauty products with egg white are also great when you're dealing with breakouts and pores that are looking enlarged, as well as blackheads. Too Cool for School makes some great egg white products. They have a whole host of them, even for the body. What's it called? Their egg white pack or mousse pack. I think it's called egg white mousse pack. It's a type of wash off mask that really helps clarify the skin and also brighten the complexion, so it's a perfect companion during that time of the month. Of course, you can also mix your own egg white mask. Just whisk one egg white with a teaspoon of honey and apply it to your cleansed face. Leave it on for a good 20 minutes or so and then wash it off. Now, the only problem with this DIY egg white version is the fact that it tends to run down your face and make a mess. So I personally prefer the ready-made Too Cool for School version, which I also think works a little bit better and brightening. Tea tree oil and tea tree water are also fantastic if you suffer from hormonal breakouts. They are antifungal, anti-inflammatory, and antibacterial. I think they're even antiviral, although that shouldn't really matter when it comes to pimples. Some people don't get along well with tea tree, especially the essential oil can be too potent for some skin types. So absolutely make sure that you patch test any new tea tree oil products that you're trying. Masks with tea tree oil, such as the excellent MediHeal Tea Tree Care Solution Mask, can be a godsend during that time of the month. Not only do they help combat breakouts and infected areas of your skin, they can also calm down redness and inflamed skin. If you regularly suffer from breakouts, especially during that time of the month, I can also highly, highly recommend the Ligi Harm Tea Tree Skincare line. The Ligi Harm Tea Tree Essence in particular is amazing. It's one of those products where you only realize how much it does for your skin when you stop using it. It helps calm down redness, it fights smaller breakouts, it helps keep your pores healthier and cleaner, and just overall improves the appearance of oily and hormonally stressed skin. It's one of those holy grail products that I would always recommend from the bottom of my heart without hesitation. It's really, really great. Sometimes I feel people must think that I'm sponsored by Ligi Harm because I tend to talk about their products so enthusiastically, but they're just really, really good. They really are. And no, so far, Ligi Harm is not sponsoring me at all. They did send me some PR samples, but that was, I don't know, a year ago, I think. All right, let's go for SOS skincare scenario number 3. Your skin caught too much sun. Okay, this one is a real nightmare scenario, obviously. Now, we all know that we're supposed to make sure our skin is well protected from the harmful rays of the sun all day. We should apply and reapply sunscreen throughout the day. We should cover ourselves and avoid direct sunlight. But, life happens, right? We might forget to reapply our sunscreen. We might fall asleep while lying in the grass, enjoying the shade, only to wake up and the shade has wandered on. And we have been lying in direct sunlight for an hour or longer. Obviously, this is a made-up scenario that did not happen to the person making this podcast, obviously.
So, yes. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, we end up getting either fully burned or sort of, I guess, pre-burned. You know the look and feel of that. The skin is red and sensitized, and it's usually worse if you, like myself, are allergic or highly sensitized to too much sunlight. If I'm not careful and stay out in direct sunlight for too long, I can get seriously bad rashes and even hives on the skin that can itch or hurt. It's pretty bad. A couple of after sun care ingredients can really help calm down the redness and inflammation. Thank God for that. The number one skincare ingredient I found to help when I have sun damage is aloe vera. Both the juice and the gel are excellent for after sun care. I buy pure aloe vera juice from German health food stores, and I'm sure you have the same thing in the US as well. What I do is I fill the juice in a spritz bottle and just spritz my entire face with it, keeping it in the fridge when I don't use it. It's best not to keep an already opened bottle of aloe vera juice for too long, since it can grow mold otherwise. So do check it out after a week and only buy a small bottle. Aloe vera is known to assist wound healing and calm down inflammation, thanks to being rich in antioxidants. It also has a known skin cooling sensation, and it can lower the overall temperature of overheated skin. Aloe vera gels come in many shapes and sizes in Korea. They are a kind of one-for-all multi-purpose remedy offered by almost all the larger mid-price key beauty brands. The problem is that many of these brands like to market their aloe gels as 96% or even 98% pure aloe vera or something similar like that. But very often, these gels actually have a very high alcohol content, which is not ideal if your skin is already inflamed or even burned. If you can afford it, I would actually suggest for you to buy an organic aloe vera gel, but if you would like to try a Korean one, they usually are quite cheap, to be honest, and that's great. I'm currently having some promising results with the Holika Holika aloe vera gel. I can't 100% assure you that it is alcohol-free, since there are some very sneaky ways brands can hide alcohol content by making it part of the plant extract and not an extra ingredient that they have to list. So it's sometimes a bit hard to decipher whether or not this contains alcohol, but so far I found the Holika Holika gel quite gentle, and it's simple in a good way. I also really liked the Benton Aloe Propolis Soothing Gel as an after-sun moisturizing gel when I tried a sample of it, but this does have lemon oil in it, which does not agree with everyone. I, however, liked how gentle and calming it felt on my skin. It offers simple yet effective hydration and even a slight cooling sensation, so that's perfect for after-sun care. And speaking of propolis, and we all know by now that I speak quite a lot about propolis on this podcast, this is another excellent skin repairing ingredient to grab when you have been out in the sun for too long. The Tosawung Pure Propolis Sheet Masks are fantastic after sun masks that will help stabilize out of whack and inflamed skin. Again, keep them in the fridge for an extra cooling sensation. Sheet masks are great after sun buddies in any case. Look for aloe vera, milk, oat, hyaluronic acid, and propolis as main ingredients. If you've suffered sun damage, repairing and nourishing your skin is extra important. So even if you usually have oily skin, now is the time to grab a richer moisturizer. I would suggest going for a toner, cream, or lotion rich in ceramides. I already raved about the Holika Holika Good Cera skincare line, and the Good Cera Ceramide Cream is great as a gentle damage repairing moisturizer. It's very thick, yet it doesn't feel too heavy or too oily. It's just the right amount of moisture and hydration. A toner with goat or donkey milk is also fantastic for after sun care. Goat milk is rich in skin repairing lactic acid and vitamins A, E, and a lot of B vitamins, which are all great for assisting the skin, especially in times where it's stressed and needs to heal. Now, Tony Moly has a number of goat milk products, and I've heard good things about them. So I'll make sure to link their goat milk toner in the episode notes, as well as some of the sheet masks that they offer with goat milk. Now, here's another great DIY recipe for you. It's super simple. It's just a yogurt face mask. All you need really is natural full-fat Greek yogurt. No low-fat stuff. Make sure it's the thick, creamy, and really fatty type. If you can get organic, even better. Apply it thickly to your face and let it soak for half an hour or even up to 45 minutes. Then wash off with tepid water or even some fresh milk or buttermilk if you have any. The yogurt soothes and helps to calm down inflammation. It's the perfect after-sun treat for your skin. It's also very, very cooling. It's great. Now, if you aren't fond of using dairy-based skincare, the Japanese skincare brand Sana offers a number of soy milk-based moisturizing lotions, toners, and creams that are quite popular in Japan. Okay, let's move on to skincare emergency number 4, the day after a massive night out, aka the hangover routine. Now, I don't really drink heavily anymore, to be honest, only on very rare occasions because, and any of you past 30 listening right now will attest to the sad truth, it's just not that easy anymore dealing with the aftermath of a night out drinking. To be fair, I was never one of those people who could party all night and then just go straight to work without sleeping. That's just crazy to me. I think I'm too boring for that. Okay, I will not tell you anything new here, but of course, alcohol in excess is really bad for us. It's the sad truth. It's fun, but it's unhealthy. Now, we still don't actually know why we get hungover, interestingly enough. We don't really know what exactly causes a hangover. I mean, of course, the alcohol causes it, or rather, the body dealing with alcohol slowly leaving the blood system again. But what exactly happens and why this causes such a wide array of uncomfortable symptoms is not fully clear to scientists. What is clear is that a hangover is different for everyone. For me, it's mostly nausea, as well as extreme dehydration. For other people, it can be fatigue, dizziness, stomach issues, headaches, all sorts of nasty side effects. Now, even if you don't drink, you may be feeling less than stellar after a long night out. Lack of sleep, smoke-filled nightclubs. These things can be taxing for you and your skin, even without the added woes of a hangover. When it comes to the state of our skin after a night out, I would say the main problem is one of dehydration and fatigue. Skin will look sallow and sometimes have a slightly, well, bluish, grayish, or otherwise very unhealthy tinge to it. Dark circles under the eyes will add to the general appearance of extreme fatigue. If you got home very late, you may have also been tempted to skip the usual cleansing routine and maybe even, oh my god, gone to bed without taking off your makeup. Funnily enough, I always take my makeup off even when I am completely drunk, which has happened in my youth. I may wake up to a completely messy bathroom with my cleansing products strewn all across the sink and everything covered in water, but I somehow still always manage to make sure my face is clean before I stumble into bed. It's quite amazing, actually. But I don't want to sound too smug here. I do totally understand if you might not have managed to take the day off, as it were, after a long night out. And sometimes stuff just happens. There may just be some makeup traces left on your face, which in turn will probably mean your skin will look, well, not its best. Not cleansing your skin before bed can lead to breakouts and excess sebum on your skin. So I would say start off your anti-hangover routine with an oil cleanser, followed by a gentle, low pH second step cleanser. When my skin feels kind of yucky overall, I usually go for two of my favorite secret detox weapons. Number one is exfoliating pads. There are some wonderful and effective peeling pads to choose from when it comes to K-beauty, and they are becoming more and more popular. For those of you with oily or acne-prone skin, I would recommend the truly excellent COSRX One Step Pimple Clear Pads, or I think they're called Original Pads now. They are the ones in the red box. For me, they are a classic and a holy grail that has not been beaten yet. just COSRX to me makes the best peeling patches. Now, if you have dry skin, I can recommend the Neogen Wine Peeling Pads. But lately, I also keep hearing excellent things about the Petit Fait Azuline Ultra Soothing Pads. I hope I pronounced that correctly. They're said to be extra gentle while removing dry and flaky skin. They contain German blue chamomile extract, which is a wonderfully soothing, antibacterial, and anti-inflammatory ingredient that is extra gentle. If you need an extra dose of brightening and deeply exfoliating goodness, and if your skin is a little bit stronger, if it can handle a little bit more, you could also treat yourself to one of the excellent, truly amazing Wish Formula C200 Bubble Peeling Pads. They are the most miraculous pick-me-up I know for your skin. Even if your skin looks super sick and drained of all color, using those will just perk it right up. Thanks to a mix of vitamin C, fermented ingredients, and chemical peeling extracts, these ready-to-use pads really scrub your skin clean and make it look noticeably brighter and more awake. They are awesome. They're a secret weapon of mine. Just be careful if you have very sensitive skin because these can be quite intense. So again, maybe patch test or double check if you can tolerate those. In general, any form of exfoliation is good. So if you aren't a fan of peeling pads, then go for a sugar scrub or an extra dose of AHAs after your cleansing routine. Just don't forget the sunscreen, of course, after you exfoliated your skin. Now here comes my second secret weapon, detox weapon, after the exfoliating pads, and that is using a detoxifying deep cleaning wash off mask to really get rid of all the gunk accumulated from alcohol, junk food, and other unsavory things I may have encountered during the previous night. Of course, the Innisfree Jeju Volcanic Pore Clay Mask is a K-beauty classic and pretty much unbeatable when it comes to budget clay masks, though it can feel a tad drying, I would say. Now, any clay mask, especially those that contain green clay, will be very good now, since green clay draws out impurities and can clean out your pores. The Ligi Ham Matcha Clay Pack contains both kaolin clays as well as matcha powder, which is a great detoxifier thanks to being rich in antioxidants. And here is a pro tip for you. I love to mix 1 tablespoon of any clay mask with 1 tablespoon of the excellent I'm Real Honey Mask, which you can buy on Wishtrend or I believe also on Amazon. You should totally get that mask anyway, because it is an excellent all-rounder for pretty much all skin types. Unless, of course, you are allergic to honey. It's packed full with natural honey, and it's this buttery, yummy-smelling wash-off mask that makes your skin feel super soft and smooth after use. I love it. If you combine it with a clay mask, it becomes this great non-drying and yet deeply detoxifying mask pack that will leave your skin both deeply clean as well as nourished. It's the best when you have stressed-out skin. Trust me. Another great way to refresh your skin and help make it appear brighter and more awake is by using a splash mask. Okay, so splash masks are a little controversial in the K-beauty community. Some bloggers say they are useless and don't work. Well, I'm sorry, but I've tried the Blythe Soothing and Healing Green Tea Splash Mask and I love it. If you ask me, I actually think it's quite a miracle. It definitely, without any doubt, brightens the skin after mere seconds. I have seen the effect. I'm not just imagining it. It works. So all I do is mix 1/2 cap full of the splash mask liquid in a larger bowl of water, which I place in the sink. So I don't mix it in my sink because that does feel a little bit weird and slightly yuck. So I get an extra bowl and then I just splash my face with the liquid for roughly 1/2 minute. Afterwards, don't dry your face or wash off the splash mask liquid. Just pat your face dry with your fingertips. It's super easy, it's super refreshing, and the effect is amazing. Brighter skin, you look more awake, you look more refreshed, and it just looks more alive. It's hard to describe, but again, I swear by it. Now, after all this cleansing and detoxifying, it's time to replenish all that moisture and hydration you have lost, thanks to the dehydrating effect of the alcohol. Now, you should be drinking copious amounts of water all day anyway, but I'm sure you already know this, right? So if you have the time, I would actually go for yet another mask. This time, a deeply hydrating sheet mask. Sheet masks are a fantastic moisture provider since the sheet itself serves as a moisture retaining barrier. But you should be careful careful to never leave the sheet on for too long. As soon as it starts drying out, it will actually end up taking back moisture from your skin. So always remove a sheet mask when it's still moist. Then it works perfectly. Sheet masks with hyaluronic acid provide deep hydration. So these are great after a night out. Now, I haven't tried them yet, but Wishtrend now has a brand new sheet mask from their Claire's Midnight Blue Calming Skincare line. If this is as good as the excellent Midnight Blue Calming Cream, then this should be the perfect hangover treatment for your skin. I'll make sure to link the masks. They also have a new version of their regular Rich Moist Soothing Mask, which also is excellent if you just want to replenish your skin with as much moisture and hydration as possible. If you do well with fermented ingredients, then I can wholeheartedly recommend the Wamisa Organic Flowers Hydrogel Mask for extra brightening. It is such a great pick-me-up. It tones, it smooths out dry patches, and your skin will glow as if you've slept for 10 hours without the alcohol consumption the night before. And we're already at our last skincare emergency scenario, which is over-exfoliation. Now, exfoliation is a great thing you can do for your face, and there's nothing wrong with doing it a few times a week, if your skin can handle it. However, many people start overdoing it with their exfoliation routine once they see the remarkable results. And this over-exfoliation can be quite devastating for your skin. So how do you know if you are suffering from over-exfoliation? Well, there are a couple of indications, such as excessive dryness, excessive sebum production, a general feeling of tightness of the skin. This can be even to a point where it's really unpleasant, and a weird sort of shininess and puffiness to your face. These are all possible signs that you overdid it with the acids. Your skin may look extremely red as well, and if you've been really overdoing it, you may even see it start leaking fluids. Now, if that is the case, please go see a dermatologist. If it starts leaking, then I think you're at a point where you might not just want to self-medicate. But in any case, here are a few things you can do in order to at least calm down your skin and start healing it. Of course, the first thing you have to do is please step away from those acids. I beg you, just hands off any chemical exfoliation or mechanical scrubs as well. Just no scrubbing anymore. Your skin will need some rest. So please don't touch anything that has to do with any sort of actives or exfoliation. Also, please stay away from actives such as retinoids. And also, I think even vitamin C is maybe not a good idea. It's just all a little bit too much excitement for the skin. Nourishing and calming down your skin is the most important thing right now. Over-exfoliation weakens or even destroys your moisture barrier. That is that protective skin layer that makes sure your skin stays healthy and in perfect balance. So now is the time to hydrate, moisturize, and very carefully cleanse. Ceramides are your best friends during this time. They will really help replenish your skin's moisture and calm down irritated skin. So again, let me sing the praises of the good cera products I already mentioned. Really, I promise I'm not sponsored. It's just sometimes some products are just so good, I just will probably keep re-mentioning them throughout this podcast until eternity. Using a gentle oil cleanser, such as the Hamish All Clean Cleansing Balm, is also a very good idea. You should pair it with a second step cleanser that has a low pH value. Ideally, this should be between 5 and 6. I've recommended some low pH cleansers in my podcast episode on building your skincare routine. So do give that one a listen and check out the episode notes. I've linked all the products there. I'm currently also in love with the non-Asian Physio Gel Calming Relief Skincare line, which should be excellent for people who are suffering from over-exfoliated skin. It's so soothing, calming, and moisturizing without feeling too heavy. I've tried their serum and one of the creams. I think it was the night cream. Very, very, very good products. At night, I would strongly suggest using a sealing, strongly occlusive sleeping pack, such as the, and please don't laugh, because it really is a good sleeping pack, even though some people like to make fun of it, the Tony Moly Magic Food Banana Sleeping Pack. It's cheap, And I know it's meant for teenagers, but I've tried it and I really, really liked it. But you can also go for something a little bit more sophisticated. The excellent, very sensitive, skin type friendly Cosrx Ultimate Nourishing Rice Overnight Mask is a long-term fave of mine. Here are some ingredients you should look out for when you are healing your moisture barrier. Propolis, hyaluronic acid, ceramides, niacinamide, shea butter, or any other plant butter really, and healing plant oils, which are also nourishing, such as argan oil, marula oil is excellent, and well, actually mineral oil can be very good because it's highly occlusive. If you do well with it, don't step away from the mineral oil. It can actually be quite beneficial. Ingredients that you should avoid or be careful with while you're healing your moisture barrier are, for instance, citrus essential oils, so lemon, orange, bergamot, lime, etc. They're just a little bit too strong and they're also phototoxic, so already sensitized skin will be even more sensitive towards sun damage, so very dangerous if you already have a weak skin barrier. And then pure alcohol or ethanol sometimes can just be too much. It's very drying, so also I would suggest staying away from it at this point in time. And tea tree oil. Again, as I said, tea tree oil can just be a little bit too potent if you're already sensitized. Retinoids, as I said, anything to do with retinol. I would also be careful with lavender oil. Can also be, let's say, not really as good for sensitive skin or sensitized skin as sometimes skincare lines make it out to be. And well, there you have it. Those are my 5 skincare emergency scenarios. And I hope I helped you with my tips a little bit. Here are the weekly faves, craves, and misbehaves. All right, that went by fast. We're already at the weekly craves, faves, and misbehaves. So one product this week that I really, really would love to try out and haven't yet, so I'm craving it. And then one product that I really enjoyed and one that didn't quite convince me. So the crave of the week is, or are, the Neogen Dermology Real Cica Pads. I have been noticing these for a while now, long before they were available internationally, because a Korean YouTuber showed them in a video. I don't quite remember who it was. I think it was Meech Muse. But I remember being quite intrigued by them pretty much from the first moment I saw them. I have talked about the whole Cica products craze that started roughly by the end of last year, and it's still exploding this year in my Asian Skincare Trends for 2018 podcast episode. And I think I even mentioned the pads back then as well. By now, they have clearly been picked up by the Western K-beauty community as well. I see them everywhere at the moment. These are softly exfoliating pads that have been soaked in Centella Asiatica enriched fluid. They are meant to be very gentle and just have a very soft exfoliating action, so not as strong as some of the other pimple pads out there. They are more meant for sensitive skin, skin that is inflamed. Centella Asiatica is very good at calming down irritated or inflamed skin types. The pads also contain gluconolactone, a PHA, so a polyhydroxy acid. PHAs are kind of like a gentler sister to AHAs. They are a great alternative for people with highly sensitive skin because they do not irritate skin as much as AHAs, exfoliating and smoothing just as well as AHAs, according to some studies. I tried a PHA and BHA peeling by Geek & Gorgeous a while ago and I really enjoyed it. I felt that the PHA gave my skin a super lovely glow and definitely helped smooth it visibly. Not as strongly as the AHAs, but then it is meant for sensitive skin types, so I think a more gentle, more careful exfoliation routine is better for those types anyway. The Neogen Real Cica Pads container holds 90 pads and costs around $20, so it's actually quite reasonably priced. I really hope I can try this out sometime soon. It just sounds so great for sensitive combo skin types like mine. Now the fave of the week is the By Wish Trend 5% Mandelic Acid Skin Prep Water. So I can't really pretend that this product only just amazed me, since I've been using it almost daily for the past, I think 6 months or even longer. I'm on my second bottle now and almost finished with that one as well, so you can tell I really, really like this. The reason why I chose the Mandelic Acid Skin Prep Water as my fave of the week is mostly because I just felt it needed some love on this podcast. I don't know if I even ever mentioned it, and it is one of my holy grails, so I think it's time. So what exactly is this mysterious skin prep water? Well, it's basically an exfoliating toner. It's very similar, in fact, to the famous Pixie Glow Tonic, which I'm also quite fond of. I've actually shown both the Pixie Glow Toner and the By Rich Trend Skin Prep Water together on my Instagram a couple of times, since I often use them in rotation, so one every other day. However, as much as I love both of these exfoliating toners, if I had to choose, the By Rich Trend Mandelic Acid Skin Prep Water, despite its annoying name, would still win hands down. Both toners make use of AHA acids, so alpha hydroxy acids, but the Pixie Glow Tonic contains glycolic acid, which can be irritating to the skin, while the By Rich Trend Skin Prep Water uses mandelic acid, which is an AHA known to be especially gentle due to its larger molecular size. Now, another really cool thing about mandelic acid is the fact that it is the only AHA that is actually oil soluble, which means it can penetrate sebum and really penetrate your pores. AHAs are water soluble, which means they, unlike their cousins, the BHAs, cannot help deal with excess oiliness and blackheads, etc., which are caused by sebum buildup, so by oil. So mandelic acid can, on the one hand, do what other AHAs can do, which is to smooth out flaky skin and dryness, but on the other hand, it can also help with breakouts and excess sebum, which I think is pretty neat, right? To me, this really makes mandelic acid the perfect acid to use if you have oily combo skin with the first signs of aging, like my skin. It really covers all of your bases, if you ask me. So, how and where in my routine do I use this exfoliating toner? Well, now that I have introduced stronger acids to my routine, I use exfoliating toners like the mandelic acid skin prep water on the days where I skip the stronger acids to still have some mild exfoliation without the same intense peeling effect. I always notice how much smoother and overall brighter my skin looks whenever I've used the mandelic acid toner. It does sting a little bit, especially if I have areas that are dry and you can feel that acid working on those areas. But the stinging isn't horrible. It isn't strong. It's very mild, I would say, and it doesn't last for a long time. It's just that you do get a certain sensation the moment you put it on. I've never had any negative reaction to this at all, and I find the toner extremely gentle. It works super well for my skin. If you like the Pixie Glow Tonic, do give the Mandelic Acid Skin Prep Water a try. It's even better if you ask me, especially if you have combination skin. I can really recommend it. The best thing about it is that it makes the skin just look so much brighter and smoother. It's great. Now, the misbehave of the week is the E-Nature Squeeze Green Watery Gel Cream. This is the product that I mentioned on the last podcast episode, the one which I was still trying to learn to like, and not yet declare misbehave of the week. Well, I did try. I truly, truly did, and it's just not for me. So, alright, a small note here on my stance regarding alcohol and skincare, and I'm talking ethanol and the likes, the drying alcohol we all know from pure rubbing alcohol, not the fatty alcohols that are actually good for your skin. So, personally, I don't quite understand why some skincare lovers and bloggers avoid alcohol as if it was pure poison for the skin. Even a tiny trace, and they immediately drop any product, no matter how good the rest of the formulation might be. They just declare it unsuitable for all skin types, even if it's just a tiny, tiny fraction of alcohol in there. Most skincare experts, the ones that have a science background, that is, agree that smaller amounts of alcohol are usually fine. Yes, alcohol is drying. It's not really beneficial for the skin as such, but it depends on the overall formula of the product if this will truly be a problem. Alcohol can become a problem if you are allergic to other ingredients in the formula. For instance, fragrance, because alcohol enhances the ability of other ingredients to penetrate the skin barrier. This can also be a good thing, of course. Again, completely depends on the formula and the purpose of the product. It can help other ingredients to be absorbed better. This is why, for instance, so many Asian sunscreens contain alcohol. They don't leave behind such a strong white cast or leave as greasy of a feeling behind as many Western sunscreens. sunscreens. Alcohol can help with the penetration issues of sunscreen. However, if alcohol and allergy-causing fragrance are combined and you are already sensitive towards fragrance, then this is often a double whammy for your skin that is not a great thing. So yeah, for me personally, when it comes to alcohol and skincare, I believe that it is a lot more complicated than just saying all alcohol is basically the devil and to immediately, just by reading the skincare ingredient list, say, I will not use this product. There is a tiny amount of alcohol in it. It's a missed opportunity if you just completely reject, especially alcohol-containing sunscreens, unless you are, as I said, allergic or already sensitized towards the ingredient. Because sometimes we are talking about tiny, tiny amounts of alcohol, your weekly cocktail hour shenanigans, or that glass of wine after work that you ingest will frankly be far more damaging, I guess, and you wouldn't just rigorously not drink it unless, again, you're prone to illness related to alcohol. So, I don't know. I have looked at some of the studies that people often cite, those people who condemn all alcohol and skincare, but many of those studies actually look more at the way high alcohol consumption, so consumption of liquor and the like by people who already have alcoholism, who drink severely unhealthy amounts of alcohol per day, how these amounts cause cell damage to skin tissue. So not just your daily cream with less than 1% of alcohol in it, and you only use half a teaspoon of that anyway, and you don't eat it, you put it on your face. But we are talking again about ingesting alcohol. For that particular study where they looked at skin cell damage caused by alcohol, the scientists used pure alcohol on in vitro skin cells. And this isn't really comparable to putting, as I said, tiny amounts of alcohol on the skin. And then there is another study that often gets cited. And again, I think it is wrongly interpreted. I'm not a scientist, but I have read scientists and science bloggers' opinion on those studies. And I think a lot of the people who are not as condemning of alcohol and skincare and the way that they argue for this makes a lot of sense to me. Now, that particular study I'm talking about actually looked, again, at pure rubbing alcohol, so 100% alcohol, and how it causes dryness and other skin issues such as eczema for nurses and doctors who have to use this as a disinfectant numerous times throughout the day. So, again, it's an extreme usage of alcohol that is not comparable to what we put on our skin. So, for me personally, it comes down to trial and error for everyone regarding alcohol and skincare. Some people with sensitive or already very dry skin, best avoid it, since it can aggravate skin conditions such as eczema. For my own skin, I have learned that smaller amounts are totally fine. However, and here we are back with this week's misbehave, higher amounts of alcohol can be a problem for my skin. As I told you earlier, I'm somewhat prone to redness, and higher amounts of alcohol in my skincare can increase this. It's the same when I ingest alcohol, by the way. And I also notice how my skin becomes kind of aggravated when there's too much alcohol. So yeah, let's get back to the E-Nature Squeeze Green Watery Gel Cream. So I already had a bad feeling about this when I first opened the jar because you can really smell the alcohol from it. And that's never a good sign, to be honest. That usually is an indication. Again, for me personally, you might be different. But for me, when I can smell the alcohol, it usually means there's too much of it in there for my skin. Now, the reason why I really wanted to love this gel cream is because it has such a cool texture. There are these tiny beads of oil suspended in that watery gel. And when you apply it, then the tiny beads dispense and it just creates this really lovely gel cream mix. So technically, this should be perfect for my oily combo skin, right? It's a balance of hydration and nourishment without being too heavy. But it's just not very moisturizing at all, I felt. Indeed, thanks to the high alcohol content, it felt rather drying. Whenever I used this, my skin felt noticeably taut. It didn't feel well hydrated at all. So sadly, I can't recommend this gel. I don't think it's well formulated, and it's quite pricey, to be honest. I do like the idea of eNature as a brand. I think they have an interesting brand concept. They seem very modern and very innovative. I'm still super keen to try out their Moringa cleansing balm, but the watery gel was not for me. Please, dear skincare brands, don't douse your products in alcohol. I don't think it's necessary. A tiny bit I can deal with, but it should not smell like a liquor cabin. I just think it's very counterproductive. So, sadly, a very depressing misbehave of the week. Well, that's already it for today. My attempt at helping you through some of the most pressing skincare emergencies out there. If I have piqued your interest as to what other content is out there produced by moi, apart from this podcast, your first port of call should be my beauty blog, which is sugarpeachesloves.net. Apart from a growing number of English K-beauty reviews, you can also find this week's podcast episode notes on the blog with all the products and any other links mentioned today. English blog posts can be found under the English blog posts menu point. You can also follow me on Twitter, by the way. My Twitter handle is @sugarpeachliebe and the podcast Twitter account is @KBeautyPodcast. And naturally, I'm also on Instagram. And my account name there is @sugarpeachesloves. I usually post short beauty reviews and unboxings there. And sometimes I also show Instagram stories of my beautiful city at the edge of the Black Forest. So if you're into German romanticism, I guess, then you might like it. You can find the Key Beauty Podcast on iTunes, which is still the most convenient, reliable way for you to receive the latest episode right on time. Apart from iTunes, you can listen to this and any other The Key Beauty Podcast episodes on my blog or on SoundCloud, where a small like or a comment helps me and my little project here tremendously. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with people who you think may also enjoy it. This is so important for us content creators, since it supports our growth so much. Reviewing and rating this podcast on iTunes is a super valuable way to support me, since the more positive reviews a podcast gets, the more likely it will be found by other listeners within the overwhelming number of podcasts out there. The K-Beauty Podcast is only one out of two podcasts dedicated to K-Beauty and Asian beauty. Of course, the other one, we all know, is the amazing Snakecast. So it would be great if more K-Beauty and Asian beauty lovers could find my podcast. If you want to support my work, please consider using the affiliate links provided in the episode notes when you make your Key Beauty purchases. This isn't a must, of course. It's appreciated. Thank you to everyone who supports this podcast through messages, sharing, reviewing, or contacting me on Instagram or on my blog. It keeps me going like nothing else. It means a lot to me. If you have any questions, queries, or topic suggestions for future episodes, or if you are a brand interested in working with me, you can contact me at sugarpeachesloves@gmail.com. I hope your week will be free of any skincare emergencies, but if any hay fever / warm weather related emergencies occur, keep calm and sheet mask away. Until then, happy masking, layering, and pat patting. Bye, take care, and thank you.